Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at family matters. And we've talked about wives and husbands and about love. But we've talked about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, and we talked about the whole philosophy behind that. And then husbands, love your wives. But we noticed that the husband is the head of the house. And with that, notice how that we go from husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. So there's an attitude. We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at the attitudes of a husband and father. We're going to look at the actions of a husband and father. And we're going to look at the awareness of a husband and father. If he's the head of the house, then he's got to realize some things. I like what someone said. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, he kind of said, if that's the case, and if the wife is the heart of the home, then you want to keep your wife with all diligence, for out of her are the issues of life. After all, she issues forth children. She's the one who's going to be around them the most and have the most influence. So you want to make sure that you have the most influence on her in a godly manner. And that's one of the big failings today, as we've said, of husbands and fathers, is not taking their God-given responsibility to lead the home. And as a result, we see people like, we see a lot of women taking over the church. We see a lot of the most popular woman, or one of the most popular, I think there's a big three, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn and Joyce Meyer. And they just make all kinds of money. But at the same time, they are very soft on sin. They're very soft. In fact, Joyce Meyer is in trouble right now. She said this past week that we shouldn't feel guilty for sin. Well, what does the Bible say the Holy Spirit brings to convict us and to comfort us? Yes, there is that paradox there. We want the comfort of salvation, but we also have to have that conviction of sin. I want the conviction to be in the background. In other words, that God convicts me before I get to it, he leads me by my radar, by the spiritual radar he sets off and he warns and so forth, man. And I'd rather have a little slap on the shoulder to told to get back in line than a big old hit where God has to yank me back in line. And so, yes, there's that, but I want to be very sensitive to sin so that God doesn't have to use a scalpel on me. And I'd rather have a little bit of salve on me as far as scrapes and bruises rather than deep hemorrhages. And so there again, we see that, yes, there needs to be that conviction of sin, but I want it to be a guide. I want it to be a warning rather than the main thing in my life where God has to really take me to the woodshed. And nobody likes to be in the woodshed every day, right? So there again, I want that comfort. I want that guide. I want that confidence in the Lord. And so we see then that husbands, love your wives. Now, if you turn back to Deuteronomy, and of course, let's just look at these verses, and now we'll go back to Deuteronomy 6. Notice how children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Okay, we'll talk about that as we process this passage. But it says, fathers. So here you have husbands and fathers. So you have two titles for one man. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So we know there's two attitudes. One toward the wife. Don't be bitter toward her. Toward the children, don't provoke them. Now, remember the people, we said that the church doesn't live in a vacuum. Colossae was where a church started, and it was a Greek-influenced city. It had the temple up top side, the men and the Hebrew, as well as the Gentiles. Man was dominant with the Hebrews, all you had to do is say, I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee three times and the woman's out. I mean, that's how bad it got in New Testament times. with the Greek, he could have all kinds of temple relations and whatever. But his wife, he could divorce her on the whim of her looking at another man. So you see how difficult it would be for women to live. And notice how that Paul comes toward this. First, don't be bitter toward your wife. Don't be overbearing. Don't find all kinds of faults with her. You got to love your wife. And then you see that he says to his, don't provoke your children. So as a good old macho man who, if he was a slave owner or if he was, man things, so he dominated his wife and he dominated his children. And God says, that's unscriptural. That's not what we're talking about. So, but then let's turn back over to what the Lord told the Old Testament Hebrew. And of course, that is the great passage, the Mishnah, in chapter 6, verse 4 of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your children diligently and shall talk of them when you sit down at in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you bind them as a sign on your hand, the frontlets of your eyes, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates of your city, all these different things. God says here that we are to love our God, and he's talking to men basically here, with the women following. But men, love your God with all your heart. Love your wife, love your God with all your heart. Love your children. But then he over here back in Deuteronomy, he says, teach your children to love the Lord. Now, how do you teach someone to love? And then in the New Testament, we see that that the wives in the church are, and the older women, and that could be a 24-year-old teaching a 14-year-old or whatever, or a 10-year-old, whatever, the older person spiritually. It says, teach your wives, teach the older women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands. It's kind of interesting. How do you teach love? How do you teach it? And of course, he gives an illustration here. You talk about it all the time. You talk about the Lord when you sit down, when you rise up. There's always kind of a Christ-centered discussion going on. Something where we look at the challenges of life and we look at it through God's eyes. And so we're trying to bring those things back. What I tried to do, I say this and I go back and I wish I could do it over again. But even in talking about history, and my kids really got interested in history and all that because of some of the things I would bring up because I loved history. But I would always try to inject providence into how that God changed things or how that God was always there. So talk about buying a car, or whatever. Those are things where we talk about it all the time. What's the Lord's will? And not just the pious platitudes, but really trying to get into the word now they call a biblical worldview and trying to establish that. But if I don't show my children the love of God, then how will they, if I don't exemplify it, if I'm not an example, then how do they learn? How do they learn what love is if I don't love my wife? It all begins with the man. It all begins now, unfortunately, we see throughout church history, women have been very much more involved in church than men. It's the men that think it's the women's work, whatever. No, God starts off with the men. And so we see that husbands, love your wives. Twice we see, you turn back. So first of all, we see the attitude in Colossians, fathers and husbands, you've got to learn how to love your wives. You got to learn how to make your children. You got to learn how to teach your children how to love the Lord and not provoke them. You got to teach them in such a way that they don't raise up and hate God because of all the strict rules you put on them and all the things that you told them that if they don't do, God's not going to love you and all this kind of stuff. By the way, that's unscriptural. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. And so don't tell people that God won't love you if you do this. No, he'll love you, but he'll have a way of taking care of it too. So God always loves us. It's an everlasting love. And so we see that that fathers have two responsibilities. They've got to teach love by example, and they've got to learn the attitude of that love in the home. They've got to set forth, and one of the ways of assisting that is Bible verses. I like I go into homes and I'll see Bible verses up on the wall and stuff. That's a very important way of teaching. Just you say, well, that's so subtle. They don't go by and touch it and whatever. No, but you got the atmosphere, and there's a constant reminder in the home. And so, and then books. And then, of course, today, the biggest problem we have is entertainment. And it's so easy to get off into all kinds of bad stuff rather than constantly having things that remind us of the Lord in the home, the music and so forth. So we see that those are the things that the husband is the one who sets up the atmosphere, but the wife in the family really is the one who is the atmosphere. She's the one, the mama. You know, isn't it interesting? Those big old 300-pound linemen. You'll see them on television, especially college, and whenever they see that they're on the television, they don't say, "Hey, Dad." Who do they say? "Hey, Ma." You know, and here they are, you know, big old behemoths, and "Hey, Mom." And she's a little, you know, doesn't weigh a third of what they weigh, and so, but that's the heart. It's the heart of the home, and so we see that there's a love atmosphere that a man must provide. He's a provider. But the wife is really the one who sets the atmosphere, so the mother. And so, of course, we're talking with broken homes and everything else today, and I came from one, so I know a little bit about that. I praise the Lord that God taught me along the way, and that's why I'd like to go back and do it all over again now that I've learned a lot of things about setting up a Christian home. There's so many things I'd like to go back and do over again, but isn't that true in life? I mean, everything, and how many times do I hear, "Pastor, if I just learned this 10 years ago?" Well, same way, here I am, you know, a little older now, and I'd like to go back many years ago and start all over again. But then again, I don't want to go through all those trials again either. You know, it's one of those things. But so we see the attitude of the husband toward the things of God are very important. He's not perfect. But notice he says that he submit to your, or husbands, love your wives and be not bitter toward them. So, and then with that passage, well, of course, we know if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and that's just a couple of books back, you have the one that's preached on the most, Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about husbands and wives. And, notice, of course, he starts off with being filled with the Spirit and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, that was a man's world. If Ephesus was a man's world. He's talking to the men, realizing that the women are there too. But men are to be singing, making melody to the Lord. And so they're setting up and they're providing an atmosphere for the woman to come in and really fill the void. And so we see, we saw back in verse 17, be not unwise. And we said that could be very foolish or stupid. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, and he goes and talks about that. And he talks about in verse 22, wives submit to know. Paul always starts off with the lesser to the one in charge. What I mean is not the inferior, because the wife is definitely not inferior, but the one who is to follow. But then he goes to the lead. And notice he did with the children. The children are to obey, but the father is to lead. And so we'll see that with servants and masters also. But we notice now he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And there's the example. just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And by the way, and we'll get into this later, but maybe I don't want to get off on rabbit trails, but I've been studying a lot about the Queen of Heaven is not Mary. It's the gods like goddesses like Diana and others. And the Mother Church, Mary is not the mother of the church. She's not the mother of God. She's the mother of the Lamb. She's the mother of Jesus. But she's not the mother of God. She's not equal with God. And, let's get off that. But there again, we're getting into the Lent season. And I'm hearing a lot of this type of stuff, and people are all over the place on that. But he says that notice what he says. What's the responsibility? That Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Whoa! You mean you're to present your wife? Yeah, you're to provide for her in such a way that she can blossom spiritually. You're to provide for her in such a way that you provide a clean atmosphere. That's why, we talk about men should not be cursing around women. They should not be using all this foul language and all the rest. There used to be a respect there. And it should start in the home. I hope my kids, there was one time that we were listening to a tape. It was a history book. But they got off into some things that my daughter was listening, and I'm going, oh, no. It's one of those things. I didn't want her to be around that kind of talk. Although I know, Pastor, she's always, you go to school. Yeah, I know that. But that's not what I want in the home. So I want that to be a haven. I want the church to be a haven. I want women to come to church here and feel like, my, this is the place where God can really use me and I can blossom. And so as men, we must provide the atmosphere for that woman. Well, you say, the place of a woman is in the kitchen. No, you read Proverbs 31 and you'll see, no, she's all over the place. She's even out in the marketplace selling things. And so there again, a woman isn't barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, cooking all the time, 3 meals a day and washing dishes. And that's all she does. And then she's supposed to be bright and happy for her husband to come home and all that kind of garbage. No. The man is responsible for providing that place and providing a place where she is a spiritually clean place, a spiritually abundant place where she can go and so forth. The one thing I really love, because my wife has the gift of piano playing, and I dreamed of it as a kid, because I didn't come from a Christian home, but I told you about going by a missionary's house and they were playing the piano. I said, man, I wish I had that in my house. I got it all the time. I got a 24/7, piano player. Well, God blessed me with that. Now, not every man has that, but you could turn on the radio, or you have some good tapes or whatever. But that's a blessing. The only thing bad was my kids were almost grown before I bought her a really good piano. She always had a clunker. I wish we would have had a whole lot better piano. But at the same time, those are things you'd like to go back and change over again. But providing for your wife so that she can go forward. And this is the one thing I know that I'm talking right now to a lot of ladies. And so we're looking at this. But I want you to, as we're looking at men, how do we gauge men? Husbands, love your wives. And so he goes on. And he says that he may present it. So, you're responsible for the women around you. As far as what are you going to present to the Lord? What kind of family are you going to say, Lord, my kids are here because we tried to serve you? What are we going to do to present her? My wife. Now, I can't go too deeply in that because I'm not going to be able to go up there and people get off on all kind of tangents. Well, it's all his responsibility. No, she's got responsibilities too. And then again, we're equal, and she won't be standing before the throne of grace beside me. No, she'll have to be up there and take responsibility for how she responded to the actions in life. But notice he says, so notice in verse 28, so husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives. No, I like that again. Wives. Last week I made a mistake. I looked back over my the tape, and I kept saying, wives, love your husbands. No, it says obey your husbands or to submit to your husbands. And I contradict myself because I said the Bible never directly tells a woman to love her wife, a woman to love her husband. But then I turned it around and I kept saying love rather than submit. So, but it does teach a woman how to love other women, how to teach their women to love their husbands. We'll see that in 1 Peter in just a moment. But notice that here's the principle here, though, that really made me understand some things. So husbands ought to love their own wives, nobody else, just their own wives, as a woman is to love their own husband, as their own bodies. That will prevent narcissism. Everything's for me. No, I'm to be giving. Why do we have narcissism today? Because we have weak men not doing what God tells them to do. Yeah, we got narcissistic women. We realize that, but it starts with the man. But he says, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, that's why I like what Dr. Walt Fremont, who had really taught me so many things about marriage before I ever got married, just in listening to some of his marriage seminars. But he said, girls, don't marry a guy who's always down on himself. Because if he doesn't at least have an ego, then he's not going to love you. And by you pouring your life into him, he will lean on you, but you won't respect him. And so you've got to have a leader. You've got to have someone who's at least confident enough in himself that he can go forward on his own. Somebody said that a college education is a 4-year vacation between a guy's mother and his wife. Well, no, you didn't marry your mother. No, she's not going to nurture you. And so as a man, you got to learn how to stand on your own and learn how to lead and how to treat. And men treat women right. They treat their wives right. And so if there again, when you love your wife, it's a round robin type thing. If you love your wife, then she responds by loving you. And guess what? That makes you feel better. I'm the best looking guy in the world. My wife told me that years ago, and she doesn't lie. I don't care what anybody else thinks. As long as my wife thinks I'm the best looking guy in the world, that takes care of it. But then again, I've got to give her something to love. I got to give her something to respond to. And so again, we see that, if a guy is a drunkard and he's always needing somebody to lean on or something, and I tell another trait there is watch how a guy treats his mother and his sisters and the women around him. Because if he's always dependent on them, always coming home and stealing money out of the cookie jar or bumming money off his mother or whatever, then he's never going to really be much of a provider for you. If all he is on his smartphone all the time and all that kind of stuff, then you better be careful. Now, there again, my wife and I, we're going through that right now. But as far as I got to make sure that I put it off to the side and give her some time, but we're working on that. Let's put it that way. But I'm not always perfect on that one, especially whenever something is big in the news. I got to figure out what's going on. But we'll work on it. There again, so here's the principle. It starts with the man. Love your wife. And give yourself to her. As a result of that, you're going to do it because Christ loved you, because he loves the church. And he gave himself for it. And so here I'm always, and we say that we have these little terms like, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, and all these different terms. Well, who's going to make her happy? Her husband, mainly. And that's what we want to see now. Of course, we get into, you get into all the counsel. I'm not throwing everything off the men because some women just refuse to be happy. So we realize that, but there again, it all goes back to the backgrounds and the personalities and the chemistry. So I'm not giving you just a 2+2 because it is chemistry more than it is adding and subtracting. And so he says here, then the action is, husband, give yourself to your wife. I mean, make her the center of your responsibility. Make her the heart of your life. And so in doing that, you give her something to respond to. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have shortcomings. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to provide everything for her. Excuse me. That doesn't mean that everything is going to go hunky-dory. No, those are things that have to be worked out. Now, with that passage, so we see that there's the attitude. Men, you're not to act like the Roman Caesar. Yes, you're the head of the home, but you're not, and you might be the king of the castle, but you've also, if that makes you, if you're the king, then you got a lot of responsibility. If you're the despot, then you're the benevolent despot. You've got to make sure that you take care of those that charge that God has put you with. And so we see then there's the attitude, giving. Well, there's the action of really giving yourself to your wife and to your family. And then he goes into with the children, and we won't take time for that because I want to look at a couple of other things. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is, we see in Colossians, we have attitude. In Ephesians 5, we have action. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we have awareness. In other words, you got to be conscious of what this is all about. Now, someone has said, okay, Peter spends six verses, the first six verses, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even those who do not obey the word, that they may without the word be won. So here, the woman who goes to church and her husband is not saved. He gives a whole lot of instruction to her about how to live in that Caesarean household where you got that guy who's just, that's the atmosphere. I mean, you know, night makes right, and I'm the head. And it was so brutal that in most cities, if the woman had a baby, and the man didn't really like the baby, he could take it down to the town square and leave it there for whoever to pick up. And that's another reason you had slaves from birth. I mean, that's how brutal it was. And you can imagine what that would do to a mother. And yet we see that now the Lord is saying, husbands, love your wives. So God was coming into a situation where, talking about countercultural, this was totally countercultural, even with the government. And so we see, but then he tells them how to dress so that they do appeal to their own husbands, but not to other men and all the rest. But this, and someone has said that Peter talks to the women six times more than he does men. Six verses for the women and one for the men, so they need it more. No, no, not that. He has to deal with the women because they had such more difficult circumstances than the men did. But now notice what he says in verse 7. Husbands, likewise. Now notice, likewise. So, hey, you've got responsibilities. We've been talking to women for six verses. We've been saying about submissive and all this. But likewise, dwell with them with understanding, or as the King James says, according to knowledge. That's the idea of awareness, that you've married somebody different than you, that this person thinks differently than you do. They've got needs different than yours. And so you've got to be aware that you didn't marry your twin or your mother or anyone else. You married a distinct individual. And as a result of that, you learn how to deal with them, with their strengths as well as their weaknesses. We're not to be bitter toward them because of their weaknesses. And he says, with understanding, giving honor to the wife. There it is. Giving, you raise her up. She's not just a legal tool for you to have kids to pass your wealth on to. She is a very special person. She's the issuer issuer of life in your house. She's the mother of your children. And so you treat her with understanding, giving honor to her. One of the things that I would tell my boys when they got up, you know, they got big, taller than everybody. One of the big things, every one of my boys, for some reason, they wanted to get to the point where they could pick up their mother when they were about 8 or 9. But then by the time they were 10 or 11, they were already taller than she was. And boy, they liked to come in and stand up and all that. But when they started doing that, and they would start sassing her, "Don't you talk to my wife that way." "Oh, okay, you know, that's my wife there you're talking to." And so I would not let my boys talk to my daughter, they would get in much trouble as if they'd gone out and, you know, done something. That's rebellion. And so we took care of that. Now, was I always good at it? I wish I was perfect, but, you know, I can look back and see. I'm talking to people about perfection when I wasn't perfect. And so that's one of the most difficult things to do, is talk about things. And, you know, I like these preachers. They'll get older and and I've seen several preachers, and they've named their sermon "Things I Have Learned." And then they will go in and talk about all the great things they've done, but they won't tell you anything that they did bad. I'm going, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, I want to learn from some of your mistakes. You know, so, no, I made a lot of mistakes. And so, but then giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel. I don't care. I mean, very, very few women are going to be as strong as a man. Now, there are some that are, so we can't say there aren't. I like what, with all this basketball going on and all these women's sports going on today, and I do think women should have women's sports and men should have men's sports, and effeminate men should not be invading the women's sports because they're different. That the whole thing is silly, what's going on. I mean, you've got government officials now that are just downright stupid if they don't understand what's going on. Downright stupid to have an eighth grade boy go into a girl's bathroom or whatever. I mean, folks, we're living in a very, I hate the word stupid. I mean, that's a bad word to be using in public. I mean, all the time, but what else can you say? I mean, shock value, stupid. And so we see, she's the weaker vessel. My daughter was totally different than my three boys. And I loved it. When she got, the crazy thing about it, she played the piano. She went to college, and she played on some intramural girls' basketball team, and some girl hit her leg and tore her knee up. And I said, "Sweetheart, you are a piano player, not a basketball player." And it cost me $7,000 to get that thing fixed or whatever. So we didn't have the good insurance and all that. But and talking to the sports surgeon who did her knee, he was very well known, and he said, "You know, I've dealt with girls. My daughter's 5'10", 10 and a half, something like that." He said, "I've dealt with girls and up to 6'4", 6'6". He says, "I haven't met a girl yet that can dunk the basketball." Now, of course, I think there are probably some in the WNBA that probably can. I don't know. I've never seen one. You don't hear a lot about girls dunking the basketball as in the WNBA, but I imagine there might be a couple that might be able to do it. But if they are, they are totally different. But why? Because their legs are different, just different. I won't get into all the anatomy of it, but they're just different. My son-in-law, who married my daughter, was in the Marine Corps. They put those girls out there with the Marines out, and they give them 60 pounds back. And guess what? All these girls now are on disability because of their hips and their knees. They weren't built for that. You know, so we see this over and over again. They're the weaker vessel. You can't get around it, no matter what Harvard says or what Joe Biden says or Hillary Clinton or even Donald Trump. You know, if they're wrong, they're wrong. And so we see that God says that they are the weaker vessel. And as far as vessel, we're talking, when God talks about the vessel, we're talking about what the Spirit lives in. You know, we got a soul, but we live this old vessel. It's what he's talking about. We are, the woman is the weaker vessel. And that's a biblical fact. We look back and you've got male and female made him, made he them. That we are, what's the word? Yes. But there's, oh my, the, what they call this, the term now, binary. That's the word I'm looking for. We are binary. The word binary means that there's two different, you know, you're two different sets. Well, yeah, we're humans, but we're binary. And anybody who says they're trans or whatever else is dysphoric. And that's a good word. I mean, they are mentally imbalanced. Stupid or mentally imbalanced. Take your pick. And so we see that we're to give honor to our wife as the weaker vessel, realizing that there are certain things they cannot do. So he says, the weaker vessel, as being heirs together. Now there's the human, there's the part. Yes, we are Christians together, we are humans together, but we have two different roles. Binary. But when it comes to heirs, then God is gonna treat me. He created me to be a male. And he gave me certain responsibilities. He created my wife to be a female. And he gave her certain responsibilities. And she's going to be so far ahead of me in heaven. I hope I see her. But, you know, there again, you know, we're different. And yet we have responsibilities. And why we can't, why am I so frustrated with it this morning? We are totally off balance in this country. And it all starts in the home. And when we have homes like this, notice what we have as judges. Notice what we have as politicians. No, we got people, like we said, let's not call them stupid. Let's just call them dysfunctional. They're fools rather than wise. Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, Penn. And they're teaching that, what's that girl's name? Leah Thomas or whatever. And she broke all the records. He broke all the records of women, and they're letting them stand. I mean, we're talking about supposedly smart people, and they're fools because they're going against the creation of God. And so here I'm trying to bring up the whole idea. I'm trying to give you some biblical principles. Husbands, love your wives, but then you've got to teach your children how to love God. And one of the best ways for you to teach your children to love God is to love your wife and to provide a spiritual atmosphere for her, because she's going to have a lot of influence on those kids. And so, a provision. He gave himself. That's an action. And here's the awareness. She is different. She does have certain needs. She needs certain protections. You know, I still have problems with this. Did you lock the front door? I think so. Well, she'll be up there, you know, or whatever. Didn't bother me, you know. But all these things, because women are weaker, they need protection. And I heard, was it Sylvester Stallone or something? He said he moved to a certain city, but he had a Navy SEAL come in and teach all three of his girls how to fight before he moved to that city. Well, you know, that was a pretty smart father. But, you know, again, I'm not sure I'd want to date one of those girls, but you know, I don't think I'd want to date any girl that could whip me. But there again, you know, those are things that that we're living in. And that's why gun rights are so important, because if anything in our country today that makes an equalizer is a woman with a gun. So I'm not against women carrying guns. In fact, back a few years ago, we had a lady said, "Pastor, you don't mind if I pack in the service, do you?" Well, she didn't use that term, but then she said, "I do carry." And I said, "Great, I need some people." Just don't tell me, and we won't know, but when anybody walks in here, I'd like to know that I have the protection and our people have the protection. And boy, And she wasn't afraid to use it from her personality either. So, you know, fine. I mean, that's a great equalizer in this day. But it's a shame that we're not protecting our women. It's a shame that our schools are not protecting our women. And we're teaching them the degradation things of, and we're teaching them we're teaching them promiscuity. We're teaching them all kinds of things because we're not providing a holy atmosphere. And it begins with the men. It's kind of interesting. Well, I won't get into, I better not get too far into trends, but, you notice the men were weak in these Ivy League colleges. And all three of those women who couldn't tell you whether it was a man or a woman were presidents of Ivy League universities because the men were pushed aside and the women took over because you didn't have strong men. Well, wait a minute. You're talking, can a woman be? No, I don't have a problem with a woman being a police officer, college president, anything. But at the same time, where are the men? Over about 60% of the seminaries, that's where they train preachers, women are in the seminaries today. What's that going to do to the churches in a generation? The men, they'd rather play their video games. So we see that we've got a problem with men. And so, again, we see there is the attitude. Men, you've got to learn how to love a woman with the right attitude, not lustfully, or, I mean, you don't be bitter against them. You've got to action. You got to show love. Now, here it is already time. So we got to teach what love is. And that's what we'll look at next week. 1 Corinthians 13, love. What is love? Though I have the tongues of angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. Men, if you don't have love in a home, it profits you nothing. So we see that we got to teach what love is. And love is the fruit of the Spirit. Everything else falls under it. And so, men, we need Spirit-filled men. And here I am talking to a bunch of ladies, primarily, but at the same time, you know, I want to preach the Word. And if it gets out and it changes somebody's life or whatever, you know, or at least gets somebody thinking, then that's what we want to see. I got three boys, and, you know, I think they've treated their wives acceptably. I've never had to coach them. Wives, so whatever. My daughter seems to be pretty happy. And the bad thing about it, now that I'm getting older, they can look back on me and see, and they'll talk about, and every once in a while they'll bring up something that I did wrong. Boy, that always makes me feel bad. But at the same time, you know, our day's coming. And I told Jason yesterday, your day's coming. Because isn't that true? It's true with all of us. But, I wish I knew what I knew back in the 80s or 70s. It was easier to be in your 20s in the 70s than your 70s in the 20s. But, you know, at the same time, I wish I could have learned a lot of things in the 70s that would have helped me a whole lot more. But the thing about it, the Word of God is so high, rich, and powerful, you'll never learn it all. So here I'm still learning things. Learned something this past week. But isn't that the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God? And so we want to pass it on. Wives, teach your, older ladies, teach the younger ladies to love their husbands. That's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? Husbands or fathers, teach your children to love God. How do you teach love? So we'll look at that more next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. And Lord, we pray that it'll change our lives because of what you do through it. We know it's rich and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So Lord, we pray that you'll give us the discernment of the Holy Spirit through your Word. Lord, build great families through this church. Build men who know how to love and women who know how to respond to men in the right way, both the wrong men and the right men. Learning how to live in grace and in the fear of the Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.